On this episode, you will see that you can get into a blessing zone with God, a place where blessings are on all that you have and all that you do. Stay tuned.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came.
My name is Harold J. Perkins, and at the age of 17, I was sitting in my house getting high with about 10 other guys. At the time, I didn't believe in God. Then all of a sudden, I had an out-of-body experience, and I was lifted above the room. I saw myself sitting in the chair. Then I heard, "Is this all you're going to do for the rest of your life?" After that, I got up and I put those guys out and I cried out to Jesus Christ. He came into my life with liberty and purpose. Then I ran into religion. And it has taken me over 40 years to navigate through religion to fully understand what came in me that day. This podcast is to help put you on a faster track than it took me to get through religion and experience life, liberty, and purpose on a higher level. So get ready. We're about to start a revolution. Again, welcome. I'm excited to continue talking about If You Only Knew. If you only knew, you are loved by God beyond your natural ability to understand. It's only by the help of His Spirit that you can comprehend a love like He has for those who He has made in His image. You have been wonderfully made to enjoy a relationship with Him that will fill all the voids in your life when you get to know Him outside of religion. That's what this podcast is all about. I'm doing my best to show you Him in all of His beauty and splendor. And I'll guarantee you that if you see Him for who He really is, you'll want to know Him more. And you'll understand His strong desire to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. After knowing Him for over 40 years, I'm still amazed by His love for me in spite of me. And how He just keeps on being faithful day in and day out, year in and year out, throughout all of life's challenges. If you learn how to trust Him, He'll turn it to your good. And one of the greatest ways to see Him and His love for you is to understand what He has done for you in Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have been made perfect. You, the spirit man or woman, has been made perfect on the inside. You have been made just like Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible now calls you Christ in many places. How did you become perfect? By your doing? By your sacrifice? Not at all. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice has made you perfect. Listen to the Bible. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. If you've been made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ, don't you think now that you can approach God and receive the things you have need of and the things that He has promised? Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Notice it says we can come boldly because of the blood of Jesus, not by our good works, but by the blood of Jesus, and receive what God has promised. The Bible is full of God's promises. God promised because of the blood of Jesus, He'll never leave us. By the blood of Jesus, He has promised to bless us financially, to heal our bodies, to bless our seed, which is our children. He has made promises that cover everything that we would desire that is good in life and will enable us to live a good, godly life. And these promises are made to us by the blood of Jesus Christ and believing what He has done on our behalf. Listen to Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 27. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. whom God has set forth to be a proposition through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? In other words, it's saying Jesus did it all. Nobody can boast because Jesus did it all. By the blood of Jesus, we have been justified. Justified meaning just as if I had never sinned. This is how God sees you now. Just as if you had never sinned. The blood of Jesus has washed you clean. And your actions can't change this because your actions didn't make you justified. Jesus' blood did it, and his blood will never lose its power. He shed his blood for you when you were an enemy of God. And now that you're in the family of God, how much more will he do you good? This is what the Bible says. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The life of Jesus Christ is now in us in seed form. Everything that is in the living Christ is now in us in seed form. This is what we haven't been told. So how can we be expected to rise up to be like Christ when we're not being told that he is in us and we are in him? He is in us and we are in him. If God loved us as enemies by giving his beloved son, how much more does he have available for us if we just believe? Most believers are being robbed. God is not like Santa Claus. If you do good, Santa will be good to you. No, God is good because he is good. He will do good to you because he is good. He will love you into a deeper relationship with him if you let him. If you let go of your preconceived ideas about God and just believe him in light of what he has said about himself in his word. He has given us a record of himself. He's not left it up to us to figure him out. His spirit is now in us if we're in Christ. And if we will pray and read his word, he'll show himself to us. And he will show us who we are in him. When you know who you really are, you can then rise up to be who you were meant to be. You were created to be like God your Father, like the Holy Spirit, like the Son Jesus, a king in the kingdom of God. And that includes women as well. We are kings. We are all one. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's neither male nor female, that we are all one. That's how much we are one with Christ. We are kings in the kingdom of God, to take our place of dominion on earth, empowered by all the resources of heaven. There is nothing inferior in you. The inferiority is in your body, your fallen flesh that wants to dominate your life and take you to depression, to sickness, to suicidal thoughts, and everything that is bad. But by renewing your mind to the truth, you can experience an abundant life of blessing. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. Notice he didn't stop at life. He said life more abundantly. Lack and want is not abundant life. Sickness and disease is not abundant life. We are to resist these things and use the word of God to run them off. We may not see the results right away, but as we keep believing, God will come through for us. But as I said on the previous episodes, the devil will come with condemnation, guilt, and shame and try to nullify your faith. And you need faith to receive the benefits of the kingdom. To fight him off, you'll have to know what God has done so you give no place to your enemy. Listen to how free God has made you. I'm in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifice they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So the law couldn't make us perfect. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. You see, God does not want you conscious of sin at all. This is why he did away with the law. Under the law, they had to make a sacrifice every year. So every year they had to remember their sins. God didn't want that. So we sent Jesus to make one sacrifice that would cleanse us forever. This is hard for a religious mind to believe, that God would love us so much that Jesus Christ's blood would cleanse us for eternity, past, present, and future sins. Listen to the Bible, not me. I'm in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. But Christ, being a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I didn't write this. How long is eternity? Eternity is forever, right? One sacrifice by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has placed us in right standing with God forever. That's how free we are. We have been set so free that before the writer of this book, Hebrews, goes into this one sacrifice by Jesus Christ for an eternal perfection, he gives a caution at the beginning. Before he even goes into this, he gives a caution to those who will see this as an opportunity to let their flesh go wild. Listen to this. I'm in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now, this is where he begins to talk about this perfection that's going to come by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his one sacrifice. But I want you to listen to what he goes into to caution us. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So he's saying, just because we're talking about and we're going on to perfection, doesn't mean that we need to not repent from dead works. That's works of the flesh. And it goes on to say, and of faith toward God. We still need to have faith toward God. And also of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, here's the caution he's about to give. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So in other words, these people that he's about to talk about here, they've experienced the power of God. They've seen the power of the word and the power at work. Now listen to verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and have put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that comes often upon it, and brings forth herbs meant for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh or near unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, notice that they bared thorns and briars, not the good fruit of the Spirit, as I covered on the previous episodes, that our spirit has good in it, not thorns and not briars. So we know that they were not living out of their spirit. They were living out of their flesh. They took their liberty for granted after seeing the power of God in their lives. This is not a new believer who is struggling to change their lives, as I shared about my early walk with Christ. This is someone who knew better, but decided to let their flesh rule their life and not use the power that they knew was inside of them to put their flesh under. And their end was not good. But this is not to be us. We are to be like this person. As we keep reading, I'm going to pick up again at verse 9. This is who we are to be. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you be not lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Notice they didn't work for the promise. It says they inherited the promise. You don't work to get an inheritance. You just have to stay in faith and be patient. Verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You see, God has promised to bless us, the seed of Abraham, which is Christ. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us. And he promised, he swore and promised to bless us. As we endure with faith and patience, we will see the promises of God manifest in our lives. God wants to multiply himself in us. Think about that. God said he wants to multiply himself. In other words, the supernatural. He's a supernatural God. So the supernatural in areas of our lives should be manifesting if we are God multiplying, and blessings should come upon us, because we just read that God said, when I bless myself, I'm going to bless you. You know, I remember a season in my life when I came out of extreme challenges from Satan. It was like all hell was working against me. But I stayed in prayer and I stayed in God's word. And after coming out of that period, I hit a season of blessing that was on all of my life. My business was prospering abundantly. My family life was prospering abundantly. All I did and all my children did was prospering. It was a season of divine favor and blessing, and it continued for a long time. I believe I'm about to hit that again, but this time, I believe it will continue for the rest of my life. God has this available for you as well. Yes, you. So if you're in a challenging season, keep believing, keep praying, keep getting into God's word to see things through God's eyes. And in doing so, he will encourage your heart and you'll see the fruit of a life with him. This is what you have to look forward to. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man within him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice it said freely given to us, freely given to you. You don't have to earn it. Just keep believing and expecting. God is faithful. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. All of us are called to a God-given purpose. No matter how bad things might appear in your life right now, if you'll trust God, he'll turn it to your good and use it to fulfill your purpose. I'm telling you what I know. What I know after seeing our great God over 40 years, he never fails if you'll trust him. Good things are going to happen to you in spite of the bad and in spite of the challenges. And then you'll be saying, if you only knew my God. Let me say right here, if you don't know our living Savior, Jesus Christ, you can get to know him now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Jesus, I accept you into my life. as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life. Thank you. That's it. It's that simple. If you believe what you just prayed, He has come in. Start reading the Bible for yourself. You can start in the book of St. John and in the book of Romans, and God will begin to show you His purpose for your life, and He'll begin to show Himself unto you. Okay, we'll see you on the next episode.